So we're having a seminar on Upadesh Amrita. I happen to have a copy right here. Like that. It's available in the gift store? Huh? It's available here? I don't, some places it's not. Yeah, huh? Huh? Okay. Okay, if you haven't got a copy, get a copy. Okay, so Prabhupada ki. And this is part of the Goswami tradition. We're presenting this course, actually for about, I don't know, 5 years now, we've been presenting this course for the college. And Radhika Raman teaches Jiva Goswami, and I teach Rupa Goswami. And of course, many people consider the magnum opus of Rupa Goswami is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, a complete science of devotional service, translated as a summary study by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It's like that. That's Nectar of Devotion. Yeah. And so, how many are, I don't know, my students, I have their names like that. Nimai is one of them. Any students here for this course, for the college? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. Now, United States, you get 100 points, 90 points, like that, for your score. And here in Europe, you start with what? It's like 60 is outstanding or something? 75. Maximum, yeah. I think Yadunandana said 60 to 70 you give sometimes in your life or something like that. To a few students, maybe in your life, you give like a 67 or something, 55 is normal. And he asked the professor, well, what is 75? And he said, oh, that's reserved for God. only God can get 75 in the European school system like that. Very strange system, very traditional like that. Doesn't make sense, but it's different, like that. So anyway, for scoring the class, the university likes the more references you can put in from different sources, they think you're more broadly educated. So if you can quote from Upadesha Amrita and things like that, it's going to get you more points. Yeah, I'm not sure if Yamaraj will appreciate it or not, but the whale's lampetter will appreciate it. Yeah. So Upadesha Amrita, Nectar of Instruction. So we have right here on this netbook, which after 6 years I finally bought one. I was refusing to buy a computer. Okay. But it's working out pretty well. Wake up, netbook. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. My secret password is. Actually, what are the two most common passwords? Hackers know this. I'll give you a secret now, by which maybe you'll be able to break into people's accounts. Take a wild guess. What are the two most common passwords? Huh? Everybody. Yeah. Well, actually, I've heard God and sex. Two most common passwords are God and sex, which the whole thing comes down to those two things. That's the two things, God or sex. Yeah. So, mine is neither one of those. Yeah. Okay. So we have, actually, if you go on the internet, we have our own web page, jayarama.us, like that. It's actually a bona fide extension. Prabhupada says that when Hanuman came to the ocean, he didn't think for a long time how to cross it, or could he make it or not, or would there be like time for lunch or anything like that. He just said, Jai Ram, and did it. Jai Ram. And he jumped. Okay. So our webpage is named jayarama.us. And if you go there, there's one section, actually very simple. It says, hello. Okay, if you're just coming for the first time, obviously that's what you click on that. The next is news. Okay, we have a periodical every 2 weeks. It's the second oldest periodical in ISKCON after the Back to Godhead magazine, like that. Our periodical, called the Kapidwaja. And then there's the third one is archives. In the archives, we have all this stuff located there, like different things we're working on. And finally, there's Peru. And I have one. Pujari. Boro Mandir Pujari Ki. So in the archives, you can find this text I have right here. It's our annotated Nectar of Instruction. Because this class is actually aimed towards Bhakti Bhai Bhava people. In Bhakti Shastri, we study Nectar of Instruction. But briefly, Nectar, like Isopanishad. And then in Bhakti Bhai Bhava, our idea is Bhakti Bhai Bhava, you do Bhagavad Gita again. You do Nectar of Instruction again. You do all these books again. But now, you know, at the Bhakti Bhai Bhava level, like that. You know? So you don't have to go to study everything the first time, like that. You know? So we have our annotated Nectar of Instruction. There it is there. You see that? If you've got 60/20 vision. Yeah. And, different things to do. We're working on it. So in our foreword, we comment that we have a foreword, footnotes, endnotes, bold, highlighted text, section titles, and we added all these things. And it starts off with a bunch of general comments about Nectar of Instruction. As a sannyasi, we cannot travel with many books, so we always have this Nectar of Instruction with us. We are trying to act like Hanuman, with Lord Ram's ring, looking for Sita, right? So if you go to Upadeshamrita, it's like the ring. When you find Sita, the pure soul entangled in Maya, you give her Upadeshamrita, and she recognizes that you're bona fide. Then she gives you her Sikamani, a check, her credit card, to buy a full set of Srimad Bhagavatam. And you go back to the BBT with a full set order. Jai, Hana Prashak Lila Ki, Jai. Number two, if you look on the, So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, he has a commentary on Upadeshamrita. Do you know what it is? What's it called? Anuvritti. Actually, Narayan Maharaj, he published a Upadeshamrita. I have a PDF file of it. It's very nice. With a commentary of Sri Radharaman Goswami, Bhaktivinod Thakur, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So these three commentaries are there. And in the end of his commentary, the Anuvritti, Narayana Maharaj puts the whole thing in there. Because in Prabhupada's purports, I'm sure it's every text, but it's almost every text, the second half of the purport is the Anuvritti. Like you'll see Prabhupada's giving his commentary on the text, and he says, in this regard, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says in his Anuvritti, then Prabhupada includes that. You know? And the nice thing to do, but I think it's almost every single text he has the paraphrase in the Anuvritti like that. And what does Anu mean? Anu? Anu means Ramanuja. We're going after, right? Following Ram Anuja, born after Ram, Lakshman. Like that. Yeah? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was writing his commentary, something Pius Varshini Vritti, or something like that, Pius Varshini Vritti. But he was coming near the end of his actual existence, manifestation. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explains, in the end of his commentary, that Srila Satchidananda Bhaktivinoda Thakur was writing a very beautiful commentary on this, and maybe thinking he wouldn't finish or something, and then he asked me to also take up this work. And so I started writing my commentary called the Anuvritti, which is probably, for me, it's following his father's Pius Varshini Vritti, Anuvritti. And it was finished, he'd only finished part of it when Bhaktivinoda Thakur left this world. And so he says, on this day, on the anniversary of something, you know, I now submit this at his lotus feet, as his commentary like that, you know, the Anuvritti. And in the Anuvritti, in the end, he says that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, was always absorbed in Krishna consciousness and Bhava, and trying to, himself and through many sources, trying to distribute this. So one time, near the end of his manifest existence, he was in Jagannath Puri on the beach at night. Of course, it's very warm, beautiful, the waves look like Jamuna, the sand dunes look like Govardhan, and he was just absorbed with, you know, Supdhamanamar and others in internal consciousness of Radha and Krishna. Then he came to external consciousness. And he called everybody and he said, okay, now I'm going to teach you the essence of this whole Krishna consciousness. And then Rupa Goswami then was there, and he produced that as Nectar of Instruction, like that. Upadeshamrita was the essence of all our philosophy. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, for spiritual practitioners, this Upadeshamrita is like their very lives and a necklace to be worn at all times. Shri Upadeshamrita ki. And some other comments here too. What else we got? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then the song I was looking for, Ohe Vaishnava Thakur, Ohe Vaishnava Thakur Doyar Sagar Edase Koruna Kori Diyapada Chaya Shoreya Maya Tomara Charana Dori Chaya Bega Domi Chaya Dosha Shodi Chaya Guna Dehodase. It's from Sharanagati. And it's one of, it's a section called Bhajana Lalasa, Sharanagati, songbook by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And a section called Bhajana Lalas. And there's, I think I have marked here, there's eight more songs right there, right along with it, which are all about Upadeshamrita, based upon Upadeshamrita. So, very nice study for this. Why Bhakti Bhai Bhava, for if you like this book, someone else likes Upanishad, okay. No, but you've been rested in Nectar Instruction. Then we have these resources. We have all these songs by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He's talking about the different aspects, Vachovegam, things like that. So maybe tomorrow we can get copies of the Ohe Vaishnava Thakur, like that. Because it's basically a summary of the whole text. You know, Chaya Bega Domi, Chaya Dosha Shodi, Chaya Guna Deho Dase, Chaya Sata Sangha, Deho Hi Amare, Vaseji, Sangha Rasha. The Wizard of Oz, right? Yeah. And then other songs, you know, that are related to the six Goswamis. Of course, we have Sad Goswami Astaka, which is beautiful, like biography, glorification of the six Goswamis. Bhadravardhan told me, the Prabhupada said in Los Angeles, if you chant this Sad Goswami Astaka every day, all of your desires for Sankirtan will become fulfilled. It's very potent, you know, a song like that. Yeah. And then Rupa Manjari Pade, you know, where that's by Vishnu Chakrabarty? I think? Nartam. And he's glorifying Rupa Goswami, you know? Like anything. So we're Rupanugas. You know, following in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami. So and also then the song we just sang, Hari Haraye Nama, Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. It starts off with what Prabhupada calls another Maha Mantra, Haraije Nama, Krishna Yadavaya Nama, Gopal Govinda Ram, Sri Madhu Sudan. So I contemplate that in the mood of Jagannath, right? Radharani is in Vrindavan and she's singing, you know, to Krishna, Yadavaya, right? Why are we glorifying Krishna as the prince of the Yadus, like that? He belongs to Vrindavan, right? Right, those girls stole him from us. It's most people. And give him back. Yeah. But glorifying, yeah, because they have their qualities. So everybody appreciates everybody else. Haraije Nama, Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Ah, Gopal Govinda. Okay, that's Krishna's more intimate name. Ram can be Balaram. And Sri Madhu Sudan can be Subhadra. Because she's Sri, right? Sri Madhu Sudan. Yeah. So anyway. Yeah, but it's, you know, Madhusudan means, what does Madhusudan mean? Madhusudan. It's a name for, Yeah, who's the demon Madhu? Madhu and? Yeah, Madhu and Kaitava, no? Kaitava. Kaitava Dharma. The Bhagavatam starts with that. You know, Prabhupada said this means cheating. He says, like, I'm somebody's coming into my town, some stranger, and I say, hey, look, you know, there's a really bad man in this town. Everybody hates him. He just dropped all these gold coins like that, you know, and I've got them. But if I try and change them, you know, people will know. But you're a foreigner. People might think they're yours like that. So you take these and give me half. You know, give me maybe $100 and take all the coins. And the guy says, okay, yeah, like that. But it's not gold. It's actually something else like that. Yeah. So he said, this is Kaitava Dharma. Then Prabhupada says, you see, I know things. I know things. So be careful. You know, be careful when you're trying to cheat people because they may be cheating you. So, Sri Madhu Sudan. You know? And then, what else? It talks about Haraya Nama, Krishna Yadavaya Namaha, Gopal Govinda. Hari, Guru, Vaishnava, Bhagavata Gita. Why are these five things mentioned? You know? As far as I know, because this is our whole faith. We believe in these five things. Hari, yeah, God, yeah, Guru, Vaishnava, two different classes of devotees. Also Balaram. Hari, Guru, Vaishnava, Bhagavata, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavata Gita. So you see probably quoting again and again, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. And then he starts talking about the six Goswamis, Sri Rupa, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and then the six Goswamis, Sri Rupa, Sri Sanatana, Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jiva Gopala Bhatta, Dasa Raghunath, H.I. Goshai, Kori, Charana Vandan. I make my respects to these six Goswamis. Yaha Hoite, Vignanasa, Abhista Puran. They remove all the obstacles on the path of devotional service. Guru Kripa was in Japan collecting money for the Krishna Balaram temple. It was a circus, man. Devotees who were there explained they were going as monks, because in Japan people are, you know, very respectful to pious monks and stuff, and they were saying, give us money to feed poor people in India. You know, people were giving like that. But it was really, it's a very difficult circumstances like that. Very intense, everybody very formal. And they were just going every day out collecting lots of money. There was no real sadhana. And in the evening they'd come and they would like soak tofu in the hot water in the hotel sink to eat. Everything was so tiny. And they were becoming more and more irritated. One devotee said that one time he was, because you're in the elevator, you know, there's all these people come. The elevator door opens in the shopping place, department store. And the lady bows to everybody. And the lady who's by the elevator, she bows to her. And she turns all the people waiting for the elevator over to her. And they all go in like that. And then she's going up, she formally welcomes everybody to the store and then describes each level like that, you know. So as the devotee said, he was so irritated by all this formality, because they're smaller, he started intentionally pushing his elbow in her face. She was saying that. So she was trying to say everything and pronounce with his elbow in her face, you know. But she couldn't say like, oh, you're pushing your elbow in my face, because see, then he would have lost face for doing this insulting thing, and she didn't want to make him lose face like that. So it was this whole thing, you know, on and on like that. So Guru Kripa wrote Prabhupada, he said, can we worship Ganesh, right, to get more money? And then Prabhupada said, we don't have to worship Ganesh. He removes obstacles, but he's not so discriminant. And so he also removes obstacles that, you know, keep you from going to hell, you know. If you have a very chaste wife, you know, and everything else, but you have a very lusty tendency, and Ganesh sees you have these things and he kills your wife. So now your obstacle is removed like that. So he said, that's very dangerous, because the demigods, they don't make these discriminations. He said, therefore, it's better for us to worship the six Goswamis, because they also, Vignyavanasaya, they remove obstacles, right? They remove obstacles in the path of devotion. So again, the six Goswamis, Sagoswami Astaka. So he said, chant this every day. And then he asked him again. He said, all right, you can worship Ganesh, but you must contribute, was it $40,000 a month to the BBT or something like that? 10,000? Wasn't that much? You have to research this point. You risk your whole Krishna consciousness on it? Yeah. That was 40,000. Letter. Maybe the letter was misprinted. Yeah. Anyway, it was a lot of money. Yeah. Maybe it was 100,000. 100,000, how much? That's no. 100,000? I know. But also, you got to understand that money then was different than it is now. You know, $100,000 now would be like about, you know, a few million dollars a month. Yeah, I know. Yeah, but Guru Kripa did it. Yeah, maybe that was it. They were collecting $40,000 a month, and he increased it at that point. Yeah, okay, a lot of money. So they started doing it. You know. So anyway, this is about Sagoswami Astaka. It's for good for removing these obstacles. Hichai Goshai Kori Charna Vandan Yaha Hoiti Vignanasa Abhista Puran. Echai goshai yar mui taradas tansabara padarenu mora pancha gras. Yeah, pancha, grass. Yeah, we like that. Mora pancha gras. My five kinds of foodstuffs, drinking, licking, smelling. These are the five kinds. The dust at their feet are what I live on. They're my nutrition. And I always want to stay in the association of devotees, Bhakti Sannivas, and follow the instructions of these six Goswamis. And then he says, Echai Goshai, Yabe Brajakoilabhas? Yeah, Echai Goshai, Yabe, when Braje in Vrindavan, Koila, they make Vas. When they were residing in Vrindavan, Radha Krishna Nitya Lila, Korela Prakash. They made all these pastime places of Radha and Krishna manifest. That was one of their main services like that. So therefore, if you go on the Brajamanda Parikrama with Lokanath Maharaj, you see so many places that were excavated by the Goswamis and by Brajabhakta Bilas, which is actually dedicated to the Brajamanda Parikrama. Narayana Bhatta Goswami. Narayana Bhatta Goswami. His samadhi is in Unchagaon, near Lalita's village. And he was same time. He wrote a book called Braja Bhakti Bilas, which describes the whole parikrama like that. You know. So that was one of their jobs, because all these places had become covered, right? They're becoming covered again. And so they made them all manifest like that. You know. Prakash. Anande Bolo Hari. Very simple, no? Anande Bolo Hari. Bhaja Vrindava. Yeah. Shri Guru Vaishnava Pada Majaya Man. Shri Guru Vaishnava Pada Majaya Man. Man means mine. What does Majaya mean? Close. Very close. Drown yourself, inundate yourself, submerge yourself. That's what I understand. Submerge yourself. Shri Guru Vaishnava Pada Majaya Man. Shri Guru Vaishnava Pada Padma Koryash. Ash means desire, aspiration. Yeah. Make the lotus feet of the Guru of Guru and Vaishnava your aspiration. Narinama Sankirtan Narottamadas. So much of our culture is just appreciating these Goswamis. And the leader of all these Goswamis was Rupa Goswami. So he gave us Upadeshamrita, like that. What else do I have here? I have almost all the problems of ISKCON never go beyond references to nectar of instruction. I got involved in this thing one time. One GBC secretary was, preaching that we shouldn't follow, listen to, see, or anything. One of Prabhupada's godbrothers. I've learned to never mention names in the Vyasa song. So one GBC secretary was mentioning we should not associate any way with one of Prabhupada's godbrothers like that, sannyasi godbrothers like that. But another devotee, big devotee in South America, was saying, no, you cannot make any progress unless you take shelter of an Uttama Adhikari. And we haven't gotten Uttama Adhikari in ISKCON now, and so therefore we must take shelter of this godbrother of Prabhupada who's an Uttama Adhikari. And I was in the middle of this. So I started exchanging email with the devotee in South America about this point and with copies to our GBC secretary. And I said, I'm never going to have to go beyond Upadeshamrita to resolve this. I won't have to go to Bhajana Rihasya or, what's what they call it, Pius, or the other one like that. The Kadamba, Harinam, Kadambani, what's the other one? Jiva Dharma. And sure enough, we went back and forth, and finally Prabhupada directly says, just by associating with devotees in ISKCON, a ordinary person can fully revive his Krishna consciousness. So in the end, all these letters, and it was some angry letters at me. He finally said, well, okay, if you're associating with devotees in ISKCON properly, and you're taking shelter of Prabhupada, okay, you can also make advancement in spiritual life. But, Prabhupada's a godbrother, he's a great guy. So then our GBC secretary wrote to me, and he said, Maharaj, you're very humble, but not always so practical. And I was thinking, my dear GBC godbrother, you're very practical, but always not always so humble. But that's sannyas dharma. That's kshatriya dharma. We don't want a kshatriya to always be humble. A kshatriya should get out there and do things. Bhishmadev tells Yudhisthira when he's instructing him, the first thing he tells him, he says, you have to understand that the kshatriya, the king, is basically a man of action, right? So GBC, secretary, president, this man of action. And then, okay, sannyasi, you can sit around, speculate about impractical philosophical things or something like that. You know? So, but it's a fact. The Upadeshamrita, if you really know it, it probably talks about so many things. It's a perfect Vaishnava verse book. The verses Prabhupada quotes in the book are just like, they're not like this, like, well, what's one verse I can use to support this from Bhagavad Gita? No, it is the verse, right? And you go back to the Yanuvritti by Bhaktisiddhanta, you see Bhaktisiddhanta quoting the same thing, like that, you know? So the verses in there are very essential. If you memorize the Bhagavad Gita verses, the Bhagavatam verses, Chaitanya Charitamrita, you find them occurring again and again. You know, very key verses like that. Yeah. And as I go through it, and you know, studying it, scrutinizing it, Prabhupada said you should know a little bit about everything and a lot about one thing. So for me, it's been Upadeshamrita, all of Prabhupada's books. And I go through it like this again and again. I begin to see that, again, it's not just like Prabhupada's like kind of talking casually. It's more like, you know, it's like somebody, like a fish, right? There's a statement that says, nobody knows who discovered water, right? But it probably wasn't a fish. Yeah, so same way, Prabhupada, he's Ragatmika. He's absorbed in the ragas of Vrindavan Dham, the intelligence. His whole intelligence is strictly Krishna conscious. It's just like Sandrananda, it's intense, ecstasy, impenetrable. And so when you're going through a nectar of instruction, you're kind of like looking for places where a little loose, maybe you can interpret it this way. When I was joining, I was coming from the hippie culture of Berkeley, California. Drugs, sex, and rock and roll. You know? I was engaged in a variety of ways like that. So on. But anyway, I was following, I was breaking the principles in every possible way. Not every possible way, but in some ways. Anyway, it was a whole, you know, very lusty experimental culture. You know? And so I came to the Hare Krishna movement, and wow, it was really impressive. And one by one, I learned about the regular principles and these kind of things. It was so impressive, you know. Intense, you know, no illicit sex, you know, if you're single it means no sex, you know, no intoxication. It was like, you know, so I started taking shelter of sweets. There's a chain in the United States called C's Candy. It's this saintly old lady with her candy bar like that. Probably she smoked cigarettes, everything else. It was very old like that. And they had, you know, there's one of these things like, you know, probably could compete with any European chocolate store like that. And they have, you know, 40 different kinds or 100 different kinds of chocolate things with this kind of stuffing, that, boxes and everything else, you know. See that, you know? But in the nectar of instruction, the Prabhupada says, one should not gratify his tongue by going to restaurants or sweetmeat shops. Like that. So when I read that, I was trying to, like, you know, read over it, read around it. Really, I was like, I was trying to figure out some other meaning for sweetmeat shop, like that. My mind was just trying like that, you know. But it was just like, you know, so I would go outside and stand, look in the window like that, you know. Like that, yeah. So it's like very, you know, very purifying, the text like that, you know. Yeah. Yeah, so everything, see, yeah, so like that, if you go on reading it, it's like seamless. The logic is so tight, so profound. Every sentence is there for a certain reason like that, you know. And after a while, I began to appreciate, it's only was like the last maybe 3 years, I began to appreciate that Prabhupada's intelligence is practically speaking unlimited. It's like when, you know, somebody says something like, you know, he says, you're not the body, but it's like there's this entire library behind that one phrase like that. Okay, I accept what you're saying like that, you know. Yeah, you know, or else, you know, it's like some police officer, someone says, don't worry, I'll protect you, you know. You see behind him is the entire, you know, county government, the state government, the national government, the United Nations, you know, everybody is like, appreciate, wow, okay, I accept it. You know? So you go on reading it, you discover this book is so, like, intense. You know, the logic, and you're following all the different links like that to different texts and different ideas and different paraphrases. So it's a very complete book as a basis for studying all of Prabhupada's books, as a Vaishnava verse book. October 2002, Mother Narayani, I asked you, told me this. Mother Narayani, you know Mother Narayani in Vrindavan? Yeah, Prabhupada disciple? Yeah. She has her one book she did on the Bhagavatam, how it's different. It's Krishna's first two cantos are Krishna's lotus feet. It's, second two cantos, 3 and 4, is legs, and different things like that. So she was also Prabhupada's, she was typing, like a typist, for Prabhupada several times. So she said that when they were in Calcutta, Prabhupada was dictating the purports in 1973 to Hrishikeshananda Das. And apparently, I just recently on the web, I found where he has some of his memories there. And apparently he went to Prabhupada, because he was a scholarly guy. He was coming in contact with these Gaudiya Vaishnava literatures. And he said, Prabhupada, can you give us a little commentary and translation of Upadeshamrita? And Prabhupada said, I'm already translating Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's just no time like that. He said, please, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, all right, you come every day and we'll dictate it. Hrishikeshananda ki. Otherwise, Prabhupada wouldn't have this. Some of the Narayani said in 1973, Hrishikeshananda Das asked Prabhupada, and she typed it up. The same time in Calcutta, Prabhupada was translating Chaitanya Charitamrita 1, Adi Leela 13 through 17. In his Yellow Submarine, 2009, July 3rd, Satsrut Das Goswami comments that he was with Prabhupada in 73 and 74, and Prabhupada was dictating his nectar of instruction. He, Satsrup Das Goswami, was writing it down. Then we found Hrishikeshananda's comments on this, and it was interesting because he had a little dialogue, and he was talking about Upadeshamrita, but he says, you know, Prabhupada, I want to take Siddha Pranali initiation. So Siddha Pranali initiation is when the guru reveals to your form to you. You are a cow. Your name is Claribel. You eat this kind of grass, and get this kind of milk from Adi Yashoda. You are a gopi. Your name is like that. And so, you know, apparently it's bona fide, but Nectar of Devotion probably mentions that some people are giving this prematurely, and not even really not even actual fact. They're just kind of imagining or pretending and passing it on. Specifically, Babaji's in Radha Kund was criticizing about this. And at that time, they were engaging in illicit sex with widows, singing the Gopinath Bhajan while smoking a bidi with the other hand. We don't memorize verses or anything else or read the commentaries of the acharyas. Our tears are our. They probably said, with their tears, they wash off the commentaries of the acharyas, like that. So Bhaktisiddhanta did not approve of these people. Now, that doesn't go on anymore. There's no gross activities like that amongst the Babaji's, probably because Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta made it so obvious like that. This is not correct. But there are many devotees, ISKCON devotees, second initiated devotees, who are taking shelter of specifically one Babaji there, who apparently is a good character, humble person, very erudite, and to take Siddha Pranali initiation like that. So, it's very interesting because Hrishikeshananda, he asked Prabhupada for this, and Prabhupada didn't say no. He said, yes, when you're ready, I will give it to you, like that. Yeah. And he said, well, Prabhupada, maybe you won't be here, when I'm ready. And Prabhupada said, this is not a matter of physical presence. Whether I am physically present or not, I will give it to you. Wow, yes. It's like that. Yeah. So, Hrishikeshananda, his comments. Jnanananda Swami said that they had an investigation by a professional advertising agency in England on our Krishna consciousness movement and how to preach Krishna consciousness in 1987. And they gave them all of our books. And they said that of all of our books, the Nectar of Instruction was the best for summarizing all of our culture and philosophy. And as far as they were concerned, the best book for making new devotees. Upadeshamrita ki. Okay. And so we've been using this different ways like that. One time we were just passing through Oxford, one day in transit, 2 days. So they asked us to do some lecture. So that time we made up a poster, suggested a poster. And you're walking down the hallways of Oxford and you see this poster and it shows this picture of Rupa Goswami with his copan, looking black and white, looking very mysterious. And the title is 3 Minutes with a genius. No. So it's very, I think, for a scholarly person, it's attractive like that. You know, it's, what is this guy? 3 minutes. 3 minutes with a genius. Like that. Then they, we say, we have a PowerPoint show like this. You can get it. Rupa Goswami and his associates dominated the world of 16th century Bengali Indian metaphysics. They were great, you know, you call it ministers with all opulence, beauty, poetry, fine houses, ivory carriages, fine ladies, everything. But they renounced it all to follow the great mystic and scholar Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who was preaching transcendental emotional love of God all over the Indian continent. They renounced everything and were living under trees, simply in glowing cause. But they produced an immense quantity of valuable literature, poetry, music, song, tantras, techniques. You know? And the Rupa Goswami then summarized everything, 11,000 verses, which may not be true, into 11 verses like that. So come tonight and spend 3 minutes with a genius. That's our promotional thing like that. And in different ways to attract people. And yeah, it takes 3 minutes to chant all the verses like that. 3 minutes. The first verse, you become a Jagat Guru. You follow the first verse, you become a Jagat Guru. Okay, so yes, 11 steps to Radha, 11 steps to Radha Kund, like that. Yeah. Very intense. Yeah. So, what else? Yeah. That's about it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Okay, so that's our the notes we're collecting so far. If anybody has any more things to tell us, we'll put it in our notebook. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe with him. Because he was visiting different Gaudiya Math sources like that.
Just to get
back, yeah. Yeah.
And like he told that story, like I'm translating Bhagavad Gita, but
I'll stop it. Maybe it must have been him, I think. Because he was very he was a very erudite fellow when he was visiting these places. And Prabhupada wasn't angry with him for doing with it. He was sincere. Bhakti Chiru told a story at Prabhupada's Tirubhava festival 2 years ago. And Prabhupada was leaving his body. And so the devotees are wondering, what are we going to do? Like, you know, we were such idiots. What are we going to do when Prabhupada goes? Yeah. So Tamal Krishnamar is sending to try and find Krishnadas Babaji, who was very, you know, was not a long envious person. He had no disciples like that. You know? So Bhakti Chirumar went to one Gaudiya Math ashram. I think this was in Vrindavan, where Krishnadas was staying. Sometimes he wasn't there, went someplace else. Then he came back, and Prabhupada's servant said, "Oh, my Bhakti Chiru, Prabhupada's been calling for you. Where have you been?" Oh, so that was these places like that. Prabhupada's been calling for you. So he went in, and Prabhupada's lying there, you know, barely moved. And he said, "Shila Prabhupada, I'm here." He said, "Where have you been?" He said, "I went to this Gaudiya Math," like this. And they said, "Why did you go to that Gaudiya Math?" And he said, Prabhupada could barely talk, but it was like the whole room was like, you know, was kind of shaking with his voice. He said, his spinal column turned into jelly. He was saying, Tamal sent me, Prabhupada. Why did he send you? Fire's going to cross, Bobby Roth. And so Prabhupada calmed down a little bit like that, you know. So he said, by that he understood that Prabhupada, you know, wanted us to stay in ISKCON, like that. You know. Very intense recollection. Wow. So any questions, comments? Is right. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Bhakti Lok. Yeah. Yes, it is. No, it's very nice. No, actually I should include it like that. Yeah. And Bhakti Siddhanta only lectured when he was in Radha Kund. I got the first three verses like that. The first verse, Vacho Begam Jiva Vegam Udaropasta Vegam Etan Vegan Yobishaheta Dira Sarvam Apimam Prithivim Sasishat. Right now we're trying to work with Garuda to do a Sanskrit grammar based upon Upadeshamrita. Then when you're studying Upadeshamrita, you learn, you know, the conjugations, the word order, like that, so you can chant it with more, you know, profundity. It's a natural pathway, you know, for Bhakti Bhai Bhava, you should learn some Sanskrit. So we're working with that, him on that. Mm. And so it's the same as Upadesham, nectar devotion, like that. In the preface, we find Prabhupada says, Rupa Goswami has given us many other, months ago, he says, here we go here, the preface. Only got 3 days to do all of this. Okay. Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī has given many other books, such as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Vidagna Madhava, and Lalita Madhava, but Upadeshamrita constitutes first instructions for neophyte devotees. One should follow these instructions very strictly, then it will be easier to make one's life successful. So at least one more place, I think more than that, I see him probably mentioning it like that. You know, Upadeshamrita, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Vidagna Madhava, Lalita Madhava. So if you look at it, Upadeshamrita is a summary. Everything is there in 11 verses. And then Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is the complete science of devotional service. So you have the summary, the complete science, and then the demonstration. And Vidagna Madhava, Lalita Madhava, Rupa Goswami is demonstrating how all these mellows fit together and produce these different reactions and lamentation and jubilation, like that. It took, 17 years from the time Rupa Goswami started Vidagna Madhava, Lalita Madhava, until he finished it like that. And of course, it's I've seen translations, it's like, what are you saying, a nightmare? Not a nightmare to translate, but there's something like that. It's just like, you know, one time, Krishna, in the V's match up, you know, V for Vrindavan, and then Lalita for Dwarka. So Krishna's in Dwarka, and, you know, then he's one side, the hand of Satyabhama, she's coming. These are all like, you know, 15-year-old girls, 14-year-old girls. And Rukmini's friends are all wondering, who's this new girl coming for Krishna? like that, you know. And so she's coming in her little palanquin, whatever, and they're all like leaning over the fence trying to see her, like that. And she gets into her apartment, and all of Rukmini's friends, they go there, and they say, oh, sister, welcome to Dwarka. Nice to meet you. And they're talking to her. And they say, well, we have to go now to our friend Rukmini, and we'll see you later. So the second they're out, they say, she has to go today. Krishna cannot see her. Rukmini hasn't got a chance against her. Get her out of here, now. Like that. So there's this whole, like, an intrigue going on. Then Krishna goes for a walk, as I remember, you know, in the garden, and Satyabhama's in a new palace. She's walking around the garden, and they see each other. And he says, oh, you know, who are you? She says, well, I'm the son of, daughter of Maharaj Satrajit. Oh, I'm Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. Oh, do you like strawberry ice cream? Oh, I love strawberry ice cream. It's like, and they just, you know, it's like have an intense connection. And then Rukmini walks in with her friends and sees them like that. And Krishna separates like that. You know, look at the tree. Like that, you know. She says, oh, I see you've met Satyabhama. He says, oh, you're Satyabhama? How nice to meet you. Like that. Welcome to Dwarka. Like that, you know. Yeah. And then Satyabhama's, you know, disturbed. He's not confessing his love in front of her. And Rukmini's suspicious. So then, I guess, Purnamasi comes in, the grandmother. And then Krishna, in the middle of all this, he says one verse, which can be interpreted by Satyabhama to mean, amongst the stars, you are like the moon, right? And Rukmini can interpret it the same way. And Purnamasi can interpret it to mean, I think it's a full moon night, probably won't see the stars tonight, like that. So as I translating this thing, it's like, you know, ¿cuántas estrellas hay en el cielo? Son 50. Son 50. It's not funny in English. How many stars are there in the sky? There are 50. 50. But 50 means without count. Like that. So that's the whole problem of trying to translate, you know, a Sanskrit thing written by Rupa Goswami using all of his artistic ability into English. God is like, you know, you probably die doing it. The last thing on earth you do, you know, you do this, you know. So, but it's there. All right, goal. Summary, complete science, than demonstration like that, you know? But what Pradeshamrita probably says constitutes first instructions. It's not that it's like, it discusses only beginning things, it discusses everything, but it does it, you know, in a very, you know, overview like that, light view. You notice the, well, purports, last purport's the shortest, you know, like that. So, it's about everything, like one night. So anyway, it's a very great book, wonderful book, and we're going to give a whole seminar for, I guess we're going to do this, what, tonight? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, like that. Yeah. And then we're going to go then start the, maybe we'll have a fixed time, Wednesday? Okay, Wednesday afternoon then for our students in the Bhakti Vasamita Sindhu course. We'll start that. Right after the RT? 4:30? 4:30? Yeah. In the classroom. Here? Here. Okay, in the classroom. 4:30 in the classroom. We have our first of our soup, because then there's going to be the kirtan weekend. It's going to go up until Monday. That. So that's kind of a summary. Then after that, maybe tomorrow we can go over an overview of how it's structured, because it's very structured. The 11 verses are actually structured quite in very distinct groups like that. They kind of lead to Radhakund. In the very last verse in Radhakund, Prabhupada says, it is very difficult to achieve Radhakund. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his commentary says, it is very difficult to achieve Radhakund. And he quotes Bhaktisiddhanta saying, it is very difficult to achieve Radhakund. And that's just about the whole purport. It's just like, yeah, it's wonderful, the glories are unlimited, but it is very difficult. You know, like even Narada Muni and the four Kumaras, can't go there. Like that. But if you sit on the banks of Radhakund chanting Hare Krishna, I was there in Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's temple. He took charge of one Manipuri temple, which is right across from the Parikrama path. Very old deity in Gopal, Brijbasi Pujari. And you look out the door, and there's Radhakund. We're chatting like that for maybe like 1 hour. And it was like maybe one of the gopis or something splashed the water, and one drop went through Ayodhya, through Mathura, through Dwarka, through Ayodhya, through Vaikuntha, through Brahmaloka, through Maharloka, and down there to the earth planet, pong, and hit me. For one moment, it was like, this is not that long, this intense feeling of like intoxication, ecstasy. It was just like that, Yeah. So I know those things exist. Yeah, these kind of feelings, they exist like that. Prabodhananda Saraswati. Who's he? In Krishna Lila? He's the uncle of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And Prabodhananda Saraswati. Who's he? He's Tungavidya, the apex of knowledge. There. So he, and Hanuman Express Dispatch, he has Shatakas, glorifying Vrindavan Dham. And he said, I will now teach you the most secret of secret mantras, so confidential that even the Vedas don't know this exists. One who knows this mantra, all of the opulences of the Lord of Vaikuntha fall at his feet. One who smells the flavor of the dust of mantra, of this mantra, experiences the most wildest of all wild ecstasies. It's the most confidential of all confidential things, like that. This mantra is Radhe, or else Hare, the same thing. Like that. So he said, night and day, chant this mantra. Do you understand what I'm saying, oh brother? It's like that. So that's Radhakund. And it says, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, even the impossible is possible. So Pradeshamrita has no limit in terms of where it's taking us. But then tomorrow, any questions then? Final comments, questions? It's okay? Yes. Yeah. Okay. One, two. Because that's the basis. Prabhupada says in the purport, without that, one cannot make any other progress. First, you have to control the senses, then the mind, then you can start to purify the soul. Because the soul now is absorbed in matter, so if it's not controlled, then the soul is not going to be able to liberate itself. So sadhana bhakti is defined as activities that we can do with our present senses, like that. Yeah? And by engaging in purifying activities, then the intelligence becomes purified because it's focusing on the senses. And the soul, because it's absorbed in our material ego and this intelligence, it becomes purified. Yeah? And when it's sufficiently detached and strong, then it can leave, right? And the cultivation, actually at the platform of bhava bhakti, yeah, then the cultivation can go on without the necessity of sensuous engagement. Like that. Yeah? But see, they're related like that. Yeah. The best way to control your senses, sangat sanjayate kama, Prabhupada quotes that in the purport. This is in Bhagavad Gita, and there it's translated as by contemplating the objects of the senses, one develops attachment. But in the Upadeshamrita, Prabhupada translates it as one's desires and ambitions develop from the company he keeps. Like that. So the best way to control the senses is to associate with devotees. Because associating with devotees means following the process. Like that. Yeah? So yeah, you're right. Yeah. Rather than trying by external mechanical means and things like that to control the senses, it's better just to associate with devotees. I mentioned before, Jayananda one time was talking to the brahmacharis and he said, Krishna consciousness means eating and sleeping in the best of company. Right? You just eat prasadam and sleep in the brahmacharya ashram and you have no problems. And for ladies, the same thing. You know, yes. No boyfriend, no problem. Yeah. But different people have different association. It's designed for their body, their mind. And a big festival, the Kshatriyas will be satisfied if there's good drinking. Probably this is one purport. There's good drinking in a big festival, the Kshatriyas will be satisfied, drinking, talking, you know. The Brahmanas will be satisfied if there's opportunity to collect donations from doing sacrifice. Okay. So everybody has their dharma. When the war comes, the Brahmanas can hide under the beds, Prabhupada says like that. But when it comes to telling the truth, you know, a Brahmana will never lie to you, like that, yeah? But, you know, an honest Kshatriya, an honest businessman, these are like oxymorons, you know, like that. There's no such thing as an honest Kshatriya. You know, they're pragmatic. They say what they need to say to get the job done. But a Brahmana can't do that. He's just too idealistic. That's why you can't function as an administrator sometimes as a Brahmana, because he's just too idealistic. You know, yeah, Prabhu, don't worry about it. You will take care of this tomorrow. I'll go out and distribute the books and I'll, you know. You say, well, we're not going to do it. You know, so. Yeah. But yeah, so everybody has their dharma. Yeah. And it's all just as good. You don't anybody, Chanika Pandit says, anybody who thinks he's a friend of the king is a fool. The king has no friends. As soon as you get this title, everybody looks at you in terms of like, what can you get from this guy? He says, even your own wife, you know, Prabhu, yeah, my friend. Yeah. He says a king has to have this ability to be, you know, formal with everybody all the time. And one devotee was pretty good administrator, but he could do that, but his wife couldn't do it. And she couldn't be unemotional with the whole world like that. And so she was dying from this. So finally he had to give up his job because she couldn't handle it. You know, like that. Yeah. So then different dharma, ways to associate, and that's the easiest way to control the senses. I was thinking that it was for more advanced devotees, you know. Then I saw in room conversation where one devotee said that. But this is for devotees, Prabhupada, not for general public. And Prabhupada said, no, why? It starts with ethics and morality. Yeah, so it's like, and many times when I give classes on this at universities, I present basically the preface. You know, we're from Bengal, you know, and I tell everybody the language in here in India is Sanskrit. And there's three kinds of S's. S with the line above it is palatal. S with the dot below it is cerebral. And S with the dental. Then I write Shri Krishna Chaitanya on the board, and I say, now pronounce this correctly. And they all go, Shri Krishna Chaitanya. And I say, thank you. Just by saying the name of Lord Chaitanya without offense, their material life is finished. Like that. Finished. Yeah. So, but that's about it. You can talk about our tradition, who are we, what is India, what is Bengal, and this kind of ideas. But as soon as you actually come to the first text about controlling the six pushes, people start to get like, you know, real nervous about this. And that's, you know, many times about all you can discuss. But yeah, that's it. It's for everybody. And other people, like interfaith dialogues, ooh, of course, again. Because you discover people just say, yeah, we have the same thing in our tradition. We have the same ideas about associating with, you know, saintly people and the, you know, different pushes of the body and different beatific states of consciousness, higher ecstasies, like that. You know? One time in Lima, we gave this program. One scientist was in the audience. And it says, the Bhakti Yoga, Upadeshamrita, the science of Bhakti Yoga. So he came because he thought it was something to do with science. And he was so disturbed, you know. But, you know, people kept calming him down like that. You know? So finally we got all the way to Radha Kund, and then everything made sense to him. It was like, oh, okay, yeah, beatific, because Catholic, and all these intense emotional states. Then he was, oh, okay, sorry, you know, like that. Because, you know, you can, that was, everybody's in a different position, really. He was caught in this culture, but at heart, he appreciated. And these very high, intense emotional ecstasies are the real purpose of religion like that. So he can now let's go backwards and discuss these different things. Okay, so tomorrow, then maybe we can discuss an overview, have the song, and discuss the whole summary of the content like that. Shri Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna Mahamantra ki. Thank you all very much.